Welcome to Florida Bets, a condensed look at sports betting lines, totals, and props from your favorite teams around the state of Florida. And now, your hosts, Brandon Kravitz and Mike Tazzi. Yeah.
Quick move, made the money move. Got it.
Tazzi, let's take a look at the betting lines inside of the state of Florida this week. It has become a staple here in the middle of the week for us. Number 20, Florida, at number 11, Tennessee. And these two programs are trending in very different directions right now. Did not think this is where we would be with Florida after that first game of the year. Boy, did we get duped.
Very much
gushing
so.
Gushing over the Gators, gushing over Anthony Richardson and Billy Napier, and dud followed by dud.
It's become toxic. My takes on teams in the state of Florida have become toxic. I got to wipe the slate clean, not let past picks influence where I'm going forward. We should have known better. I should have known better that this is year one of Billy Napier, and it's just one game from Anthony Richardson, and it's just Utah, who might be a little overrated.
Yeah.
And Utah even had a chance knocking on the door there, but I am surprised that the Gators nearly got beat by the Bulls last weekend.
I have not won a Gator bet this year. Have not won one. I took Utah, and my read on Florida was right. That's the thing that pisses me off about it, is my read on Florida was right. They played way above their heads in that game, and then I switched my read on them. Now, I did have Kentucky in my lock, so I guess I wasn't all wrong on that.
You nearly tried to hit a middle.
Exactly. So I still lost because I spent just as much on the money line parlay, betting the Florida Gators to win the game. So that screwed me up. And then I was completely hands-off with them playing against USF. So I really have won no money on Florida good or bad performances. It's just this is me every year with the Gators. I can never figure out what they're doing.
It's become toxic. What's the line this week at Tennessee?
So I'm glad you asked. Tennessee is favored by 10.5 in this one. Big money coming in on the Gators. 54% of the bets on Florida. 67% of the money is on Florida as well. So big time money. Big time bets coming in on the Gators. I don't know where this confidence is coming from. Tennessee is a beast. Top five offensively in the nation in pass yards, total yards, and points per game. So Josh Heupel has it rolling there. They have a real quarterback in Hendon Hooker. They play with pace. If they get to scoring, I just don't know how Florida keeps up. They have to make this a defensive battle, and they showed no ability to stop a running quarterback. And that Bohannon kid from USF. I just don't know how Florida matches up here. I like Tennessee minus 10.5, but I get Gator bets wrong with regularity. So
yeah,
I don't know. You should probably take the Gators plus 10.5.
It's probably time to start fading the Gators. I mean, it's easy to think that people are going to overreact after nearly losing to USF. You know that they have no chance against Tennessee. So you almost have to throw that game out. What is that money line for the Gators, just in case?
I'll have to look that up. Give me one moment. I will get that for you.
I mean, you know, I'm an odds guy, so I'm always tempted to go with the odds, but I don't know. Everything points to the Gators are trending badly, and I got to go with the Vols here.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Vols minus 10.5. Let me get the line here so you can get a better idea. Plus 300 on the money line for the Florida Gators.
But this is their first road game, is it not?
Yeah. They've been playing all their games at the Swamp.
Right. So they're
raucous
going away from
atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is a 3:30 SEC game. That's fun.
Yeah.
That'll be a good one.
You know, I almost hope I'm wrong. I'd like to see the Gators show some fight, but I'm reminding myself this is year one of Billy. I think because I believed in Anthony Richardson probably even more than I rationally should. Is why I was like, forget that it's year one. He's just going to be able to pick up the slack.
Yeah. I think I have to remind myself, too, looking at the betting percentages for college is very different from looking at betting percentages for the NFL. People who bet the NFL, the public that bets the NFL loves to bet the favorites. The public loves to bet the underdogs in college. One, we love upsets in college. And two, the numbers are usually a lot bigger, so it's a lot more comfortable taking a Florida team when you get 10.5. Ooh, that's a lot of points. But Tennessee's just a lot better than they are right now.
I really haven't gotten a close look at the Gators since the Utah game. But just judging by the scores and the box scores, it doesn't feel good. I mean, I can't say I've been studying Tennessee football, so I'm kind of just taking, you know, the stats with them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They're not trending great. If Florida goes out and gets a win on the road, would I be entirely shocked? Yeah, kind of, the way they've been trending.
All right, so we're both on Tennessee there. Miami plays against Middle Tennessee. No one cares. I'm going to breeze past that. UCF minus 20.5 going up against Georgia Tech. How about this trend? UCF has won and covered in 4 of their last 5 games that they've played. Georgia Tech has failed to cover in each of the last 5 games that they have played. One of those games does include a win. It was against an FCS team, and they didn't cover. So they're 0-5 in their last 5 games against the spread. Georgia Tech might be that bad.
Yeah. No, that makes me feel a lot better about UCF.
Because 20.5 is, like, this is back to where we were. So people don't want to take a team that's, you have to lay 20.5 in order to take them.
Oh, wait, who's 20.5?
UCF is favored by 20.5.
Oh, man, that's heavy.
And I actually am, I think I'm on UCF.
Oh, God, is there an over-under in that game? Maybe the over.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the over. If you like the, well, then this, so this is exactly why. What you just said is exactly why. If you like the over, you should take UCF. Because if the over is even close, Georgia Tech's not going to be able to help them get there. Mm. Georgia Tech has scored a total of 10 points against FBS competition this year. Their offense is putrid. So if the over hits, chances are it's because UCF created that.
Oh, okay,
and so. UCF covers. So
all right.
I think you're actually kind of talking. It's the over-under is 56.5. If they get to that point, UCF covers the spread.
I guess UCF.
UCF. Here we go. We're on the favorites.
I can't figure out these in-state college Florida
can't either.
Teams besides FSU.
Little sprinkles.
Just a lock.
Little sprinkles. This one's actually interesting. Louisville, who committed to playing every team in the state, apparently, favored by 14.5, right, hosting USF, the same USF team that just lost by three to the Florida Gators. So 3 of the first 4 games of the year for Louisville are against Florida schools. Louisville, basically a state of Florida school.
That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, how much of that was USF playing good football and how much of it was Florida just kind of being a no-show? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Are we buying USF's performance? Because if you are, you get 14.5 with them. It's pretty good.
Malik Cunningham, I've been involved in a few too many games with him already. I think I'm going to, like, retire. I think I went 1-1 against Louisville. I lost with UCF, and I won with the Noles.
Same, exactly.
And I think I need to get out of here.
Okay, so we stay away from Malik Cunningham games. Neither of these teams can be trusted. Boston College is hosting Florida State, and FSU is also a big-time favorite. Minus 17.5.
Ooh, that's heavy.
For the Florida State Seminoles. I'm sorry. FSU's at home for this one, so this one's at Doak, so at least that helps a little bit. Jordan Travis did tweet out, quote, great news, let's get it. So I'm assuming that means that he's going to play. And they're dealing with some injuries on defense, a couple injuries on the offensive line. I don't know if these guys are missing. I have no idea what to expect from Boston College. But they've been pretty bad. They lost to Rutgers.
Yeah, Rutgers came back and beat them in the fourth quarter, too. I mean, yeah, I want no part of Boston College. The points are a little heavy there.
Yeah.
If I'm going to take anyone, I got to go with the Noles again. They've been good all season to me. But that it does feel like going to the well one too many times with that large of a points amount. But I will go Noles if I have to make a pick there.
If I have to make a pick and I don't see myself betting this one, Boston College plus 17.5. FSU just feels like one of those teams that's going to play a lot of close games this year. That feels like their season's DNA. And I think they're going to win a lot of them. But they're going to play in close games. I don't see them as a blowout type team. Let's move to the NFL. Dolphins plus 5.5. Hosting the Buffalo Bills.
Mm.
This is the game of all games. I feel like this is my Super Bowl.
I can't wait to watch.
This is going to be incredible. So here you have two teams. This is what's interesting. Because it's easy to go with the contrarian or zig when everyone else is zagging approach. When you see a team that's coming off of a big win in prime time, everyone loves them, then just take the opponent. because they're probably going to cover the spread. Well, the opponent in this scenario is also coming off of an epic win that everybody's seen the highlights of again and again and again. So you've got two teams that are probably overvalued in terms of the betting market in Miami and Buffalo. Two overvalued teams playing against each other. Then who is overvalued, if anybody, in this matchup? I think it's actually Buffalo. Of course, part of that is my homerism. I'm on the Miami Dolphins. No way I can fade them now. I've won on them in the first 2 weeks of the year. I bet them both times. I won both times. They look great. And Buffalo's defensive backs are hurt. I don't think they're going to have an easy time slowing these guys down.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, Buffalo is a freight train, in the words of Raheem Palmer. They're tough to go against. But someone's got to give them a game at some point, right?
Like, yeah, and it's 5.5. I mean, the Bills could still go out. I see a scenario where it doesn't have to be a blowout. It could be a close game. Give me the team that's at home, that's playing great, all the confidence in the world. Finally, Tua's got confidence. Tyreek Hill's incredible. You give me a home team with Tyreek Hill on it, and I get 5.5 points? Yeah, I'll take that all the time.
You know what I just kind of thought of, and it might be smart. I don't know, sometimes these are smart, sometimes these are way off.
I'm in.
The Bills have played pretty whatever in the first half of the first two games.
Mm.
It seems like it takes them a while to get it going. Finn's first half, and then maybe Buffalo gets rolling in the second half.
Now, my only counter to that is that the Dolphins, the line has moved. It's +6 now.
Yeah.
My only counter to that is that the Dolphins also have started a little slow.
Yeah, this is true. So first half, I mean, I don't want to take a first half under with like two of my favorite offenses in the NFL. That's just getting cute.
Yeah.
This is why I'm not the best better, but
first half, the Dolphins +3.5 if you want to take that.
Yeah, and it just feels so shallow, but based on the last, I mean, the Titans, for God's sakes, were in that game. Everybody's making big jokes about them now and like, should they rebuild? Should they trade Derrick Henry? First half of that game, like, well, maybe late first half is where it started getting away from them. But for the most of that first half, it was close.
Yeah.
So Buffalo usually does take a while to get going. They do play great in Miami, I will say. I was there last year, and it was bad. A bloodbath, in fact. But Jacoby Brissett was at the helm.
Right. That doesn't help. This is a different Dolphins team. How about this stat? The Bills are covering by 22 points per game so far this season. Not winning by, covering by 22 points per game. Teams that have covered by 20 or more in their first two games, that average a cover of 20 or more in their first two games, over the last 20 years, not a single one of them has covered in week 3.
Whoa.
Take that from me. I mean, that's a fun stat.
Yeah, I'm not always a trends better, but
that feels like a fun one because it's so off the beaten path.
Oh, man. And if there's a team that can cover, like my first thought is and has been watching Bills games that I should just be taking them blind every week. But, man, I wish I had a stronger take on this because something's obviously going to give.
That's the fun part. You love a good something's got to give game, and this is definitely one of them.
Definitely one of them. And if I have to trust something, as much as I love what the Fins are doing, and even if they get rolled this game, I'll be right back on the Fins afterwards. I don't know. The Bills are just very scary.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that part, the rolling part, isn't the way that this goes down. I don't want to see the bubble completely burst. I'm okay with the Dolphins losing this game. Because the Bills are the best team in the NFL right now, so losing to them is no shame. And then you're 2-1, and you're feeling good still. I just want this to be a game. Even if they don't cover,
I think,
you know, 5.5, maybe they lose by 6. Like, well, I just don't want to see them get their doors blown off.
Yeah, like teasing the Dolphins up while also still feels kind of scary because the Bills have the firepower to, like, put a whooping on somebody. I think this should be a closer, good game, watchable game. So for that reason, I think teasing the Fins up, I don't think I have the stomach to do it, but I actually think that would be a smart play. I feel like the Fins at 10.5, 11.5, like that should be locked in.
Yeah, agreed. Bucks -1.5 at home against the Green Bay Packers. Really interesting matchup here. No Mike Evans, and Aaron Rodgers doesn't have anybody to throw to either. So there's just two quarterbacks that are really good at the game that are going to be thrown to a bunch of randos.
Right.
Two really good defenses. This is the first home game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year. I feel really strong about this. And I've faded the Bucks the first 2 weeks of the season. It has not gone my way. That has not factored into my opinion, because my initial read on this was, oh, got to take the Packers. The more I think about it, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is ready for the Bucks defense. And when Aaron Rodgers doesn't play well, he plays horribly. I think first game at home, the Bucks, everybody doubting them. Brady's so good in those spots, and that defense going up against an offense that, just because they figured it out a little bit against the Bears, does not mean they've figured it out. I just don't think they're ready for the Buccaneers defense. So I'll take the home team, short home favorite, Bucks minus 1.5. I feel really good about it. I think it's going to end up on my locks list.
I don't like going against Brady, but I just think without Evans, who's going to beat the Packers there? It's not like I feel great about what the Packers are about to do on offense, but if they can run it just a little bit, I feel pretty strongly about an under, and that's usually situations where life's too short to bet the under. But I think this is an under that I'd consider, even though these two quarterbacks, Packers and the under is my lean.
And the number is pretty short too. It's 42, so the number is kind of low. But yeah, I think you're probably right. It should be a low scoring game.
It should be. I'd much rather take a game where I'm leaning over than an under involving Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Just saying that out loud is like a very strange thing. But I don't believe in really enough receivers on both sides. It doesn't mean that guys can't get open and like both those quarterbacks can make a good player out of anyone. But I don't know. My first thought is under Packers.
If this game hits an over, our last one that we're going to discuss here, it'd be a lot of fun. The Jaguars at the L.A. Chargers, over-under set at 47.5. I would love to see a dueling of quarterbacks here. Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence trading touchdowns. That's what I want to see. I don't think we're going to get that, because, you know, once you expect that, you don't get it. The Jags are 7-point underdogs here. Absolutely one of my favorite bets of the week. The Jacksonville Jaguars plus 7 going up against the Justin Herbert with, he still has injured ribs.
Yeah, he's banged up.
And their defense is legit. So I think, and Trevor Lawrence coming off the best game he's played, this team's kind of feeling good. It's a lot of points. I love the Chargers this year. I just think this is a really good spot for the Jags. So I hope that they don't let me down. I'm on the Jags. I was on the Jags last week with the Indianapolis Colts. That came. Wow. I had that one done within 2 minutes of
rocking
the game.
Chair. Where is this game being played?
This is at SoFi.
Yeah, that's a little worrisome. You know, I don't think the number would be that big if it was in Jacksonville.
I mean, really, we're just talking about travel. It's not like there's a home field advantage here.
I want to say I believe in the Jags enough to cover 7. Like the other point of view would be like, oh, Chargers really want to redeem themselves after what went wrong in that Thursday game against Kansas City. So you could see them really get back to firing on all cylinders. Is Keenan Allen going to be able to play?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a little important.
Yeah, I think so.
What's the over-under here?
47.5.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Jags can play games in the 20s that don't necessarily reach over that. But I don't know. Maybe the over there.
The over would be fun. Like, do you talk about a game that would be fun to take the over? I think this one, because if it hits, it's going to be a joyous game.
Like, I love Josh Allen and Trevon Walker as pass rushers, but I don't want to get in a situation if I take plus 7 where I'm, like, needing stops against Justin Herbert. It just feels a little uncomfortable. The Chargers defense looked pretty good against Kansas City,
too. I'm more worried about that than anything else. Khalil Mack getting after Trevor Lawrence and Joey Bosa and those guys. That's what concerns me. The Jags offensive line, I'm not sure, can be trusted. But I still think I could close my eyes and picture a scenario where we're getting down to the wire deep into the 6 o'clock hour. And this is a game that feels bizarrely close, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, man,
I think, and I want to be I want to be on the underdog side.
Wish I had a better read on some of these games. Kind of a weird week, or maybe just too early in the week. I don't know.
No, this is not. These are not solidified picks. This is just, we're just having a dialogue.
We're getting it out there.
We're getting it out there.
You got to talk it through.
No doubt about it. And then you start to sort things out, and then, you know, we'll finalize some things by Friday.
Yes.
Sound good?
I wonder what I've mushed in this last 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, 6 or 7 picks.
I mean, the last time we've done in-state Florida segments. Ah, man. And of course, it happened after I was like, you know what? I'm pretty good so far. The first 2 weeks, I think I was locked in on everything. It's been a bloodbath since.